Appreciate
on
it.
Monday.
Like Jordan said, the site is back up, so y'all go check it out, horns247.com. But with that, we are false start. Eric Henry, Keenan Womack. Keenan, how you feeling, man? We finished out the week. We had a little short week, you know, debuted on Tuesday so far. I feel like the response has been good. How are you feeling about things, my man?
Man, I feel great. I've gotten a lot of compliments, got a lot of people sending me texts and getting a lot of messages about how professional we sound, which has to be the first time I've ever heard that about me in my life, being professional. Come on now. Keenan, professional? I don't think so. But no, man, I'm hearing great things. Everybody who, what up, Ruse? Everybody I've heard who's listened is a big fan, dude. So I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Listen, from the bottom of my heart, cannot thank y'all enough who have rocked with us over this first week. We're going to take this thing as long as BK, Texas Sports Unfiltered, will give us the platform. So with that, we promise we'll stop being this sentimental at the beginning of every episode and just dive into things. So with that, Keenan, big time night for Texas football. They fell short. Yo, CB, as always, appreciate it, my man. They fell short of my three first round picks. And I'm going to say, in my opinion, Keenan, I felt like some of the wheeling and dealing in the first round, the back end of the first round, kind of made that happen. Because I genuinely think if the draft board had played out as is, that Adonai Mitchell would have gone as well. But what are your initial thoughts? Byron Murphy goes middle of the first round to Seattle. And then Xavier Worthy, which I probably am going to have to spend 5 minutes trying to just not rant, because for X's sake, it is great. But for someone who is not a Kansas City Chiefs fan, what are the Bills thinking letting
not
him
trading
go
them? I know.
To Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City? But go ahead and I'm laughing with the commentary. I will not, you know, maybe Jordan's a good sport. Maybe I'll repeat that in a second. But Keenan, take it away. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, dude. I'm really happy that I wish Murphy had gone higher, but I'm happy where he landed. I think that's a good spot. They've had a lot of success at the defensive tackle position in Seattle, seemingly, even with Longhorns, with like Puna Ford was there. Yeah, that was him, right? He played at Seattle, I think.
Yeah.
And so really happy for Byron Murphy. Great player. Was he the second defender taken or the third?
He was the second. The kid from
The first was Turner. Oh, it was the UCLA kid.
He's a great story. Recovered from a neck injury. Had retired. Like, don't want to take anything away from him. Byron Murphy's better, but continue.
No, yeah. So I think Byron Murphy was third because Dallas Turner went 17, I think. So, and then Murphy went 18, right?
When Murphy goes 16, if memory heard me correct.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right. Either way, I mean, good for Murphy. I really was expecting A.D. Mitchell to be a first rounder, even over X, to be honest. But once the Chiefs traded up for that pick, it was pretty obvious who they were going to go after. They were trying to find their Tyreek Hill replacement, which, hey, you got a Tyreek Hill replacement, that's a much better citizen. So kind of a win-win, you know what I mean?
Well, really quick, I want to ask you because you sent out a tweet just talking about how happy you were for X. So if you want to elaborate on that a little bit.
So I've been a huge X fan. He's one of my favorite dudes to ever play for Texas, regardless of sport. I mean, like, I just love his attitude. I love the brash, the confidence, the borderline arrogance, but like it's like charming almost. And just to fight through what he fought through at this university, man, with just horrible rumors going around, with people trashing him, saying he's holding the school hostage for NIL, like just people just trash talking him, his own fan base. He doesn't transfer. He doesn't complain. He sticks it out. He makes a playoff with the team he initially stuck with. And now he's a first rounder playing with Mahomes. I'm just really happy for him. He deserves it.
Yeah, you know, and really quick, I'm going to touch on that. Steven, I promise, as a Horns 24/7 staff member, I will relay that message to Jordan. I think he'll get a quick laugh out of it. So it's interesting you mentioned that, right? Because obviously I got here in July, so I wasn't witness to really any of the X's holding the team up for this, X's holding the team up for that. But just from being around people, I don't think there was, and anyone watching, feel free to comment and give me your feedback. I don't think there was more of a lightning rod player on this year's team than Xavier Worthy. Even Quinn Ewers. I think people, you know, there was good reason to be cautiously optimistic and or skeptical of Quinn entering the year, given kind of, you know, how his first year went as a starter, right? His quarterback, you're interested to see kind of how that thing will play out. But X, there was always an opinion on Xavier Worthy. And I, again, I don't, it's like I tweeted this out the other day with Adonai Mitchell with the ridiculous stuff that went out. Like, I don't claim to know AD or X on a, you know, a deep level, right? We deal with them, obviously we cover them, and we get a chance to be around them more than the average person. But Xavier, for the most part, seems to be what any 20-year-old kid who has been recruited at this level since he was 16, 17, and it's and Keenan, you'll appreciate this being a basketball guy, it is the AAU syndrome that I'll call it, you know, in that when you start treating these guys like professional athletes from the time they're 13 and 14 years old, they're going to become a little dull maybe with some of their answers. I don't want to say entitled, but yeah, I mean, that stuff will kind of go to your head when your brain hasn't even fully finished developing yet, right? So what I'm saying all that to say this. I when I was around him, he seemed to be a fairly like level-headed, decent guy. But I'm sure that when you've been recruited and you've had that level of spotlight on you, you will do some things that you think like I can get away with or this, that, and the other, right? And again, I'm not reporting that in any official capacity. I'm just speaking generally.
Yeah.
But in terms of to what you just said, being happy for the guy and him sticking it out, I think that is really what should be talked about, right? Because the fact that, listen, how many kids in today's day and age do transfer, right? Like, and we're not just talking about players who haven't played, Keenan. We're talking about guys who are all conference, first team, you know, whoever guys who transfer out. So to your point, I think he deserves credit. I mean, that's, I'll let you kind of, you know, riff one more time before we transition.
Yeah, man. It's just, I remember he really broke onto the scene. Well, he broke onto the scene pretty early on in his career at Texas, but I remember I was at the game, I think it was in 21 against Texas Tech in Austin.
Yeah.
He had three receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. And I was like, wow, we, you know, Texas got a special one with this kid. And I mean, it turned out, I mean, just adding Adonai Mitchell last year, having that receiving core, I mean, best receiving, best 1-2 receiver punch they've maybe ever had. I mean, having two guys that good at the same time, I don't know if they've ever had that. I mean, I might get corrected in the comments. That's totally fine. But just at least in the last 10 years, it hasn't even been close. Like, those are the two best receivers they've had. Murphy family were Gucci'd out. Hell yeah, they were. And good for them, dude. I'd be Gucci'd out too, man, if my kid was playing in the NFL. All of that. Nice.
And listen, Keenan, how do you feel before we also transition a little bit?
Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, I think the Texas players, I haven't seen a lot of the Alabama dudes. I'm trying to think of any other team that really sticks out to me, but the Texas players more than anyone else, football, I don't know who's making the chains, but they got to have a hookup because between T-Sweats make them sweat. Yeah, I knew. And Chris Bennett was thinking when I was thinking too, because I had a feeling that Quan Cosby and Jordan
Shipley Cosby. Yeah, I said last 10 years though. So, yeah, that was 15 years. But yeah, no, that's a crazy combo.
But T-Sweat with the make them sweat. JB with the JB24, JT had a big chain. Like, some chains, I mean, legit.
Oh, yeah. $20,000. They might have gone to Johnny Dang in Houston. That's, like, kind of a legendary spot to get chains and grills and things like that. That's where, like, Paul Wall and Slim Thug and all those guys get their jewelry is from Johnny Dang in Houston. I call him TV Johnny.
Okay.
So maybe that's who they go to. Maybe they know some people in Houston or something.
There's part of me that feels like Texas is still keeping the grill and chain market like,
oh, it is
booming like that. Because I don't see them elsewhere, but nevertheless. Yeah, that was day one. Gotta get into, well, before we transition to day two, did it surprise you that AD didn't go first round by any chance? Or
yeah, but I think you're right that like all the flip-flopping at the end of the first round is the reason why. I was surprised that Xavier Leggett and Ricky Pierce all went ahead of him.
Yes.
I mean, like,
yes.
And I'm not even dissing either. Those guys are both really good receivers too, but I think Adonai Mitchell is like a bona fide first rounder in most drafts. Like in most drafts he probably goes in the top 25. You know, and it's just this year's receiver class was beyond stacked. I mean, think of how many badass receivers were in this year's class. Like, Adunze, Neighbors, yeah. Brian Thomas, Marvin Harrison, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall, Leggett. I mean, there's so many dudes that were really awesome college receivers. Keon Coleman, who came out this year. And they're all competing against each other. And it's just unfortunate that somebody didn't pick. I think they're going to really regret not picking AD. I think he's going to be a great pro. I think he's like a incredibly, he's just built to be an NFL receiver. It feels like to me.
I think AD's better than Ricky Pearsall. I think he's better than Xavier Leggett. I will go on a limb and say this guy, if you want to talk about in terms of production, you can go off a little bit, but just next level potential. I would take him over Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's just me. So, but yeah, with the guys who we kind of looking at here with day two, who are some of the ones that stand out to you? I mean, probably, you know, AD. We got to think Jonathan Brooks, as mm-hmm. Jeff and Jordan were talking about. Jerry Jones can't stop verbal diarrhea. He's talking about in terms of
you really can't.
In terms of Jonathan Brooks, I do think since this is second round and third round, of course, which will be starting at 6 p.m. tonight on ESPN networks versus ABC as well. Mm-hmm. I do think we're in Tavondre Sweat territory. I don't think Sweat gets to round four personally. So that one, and seemingly Christian Jones, that'd be the one to keep an eye on to see if he pops in the day two range as well, man. So just kind of give me your thoughts and, you know, those guys and where they possibly, you know, I don't know if any team stand out to you think would be a good landing spot or just yeah. overall you think they could get drafted.
Before anything, I cannot emphasize how crazy it is that we're talking about Christian Jones as a third rounder, man. Like I cannot tell you how not ready, how he didn't look even close 2 years ago. Not even close 2 years ago. And now last year he was great. He was actually great. And I think that is what happens when you get a legitimate offensive line coach, a one that's really good, like sure. Kyle Flood. And I think that might be, of all of the changes other than head coach, offensive line is probably the biggest difference between this Texas team and teams in the Texas past, because they were always weak at the line of scrimmage, right? You take these Herman teams, they just go for skill guys, and they don't recruit the linemen that, you know, they lost. I know the Brockermeyers ended up not working out anyway, but like, they lost the Brockermeyers, and that was like kind of the death knell for Tom Herman at Texas, was not getting those triple legacy five stars, you know? The fact that they're developing these dudes as offensive linemen so effectively, I mean, Kelvin Banks could be a top 15 pick next year, top 10 pick. You don't know. Like, he was amazing. He could have been drafted this year. Like, Kelvin Banks would have gone this year, probably.
If you were eligible, yeah.
Yeah, if you were eligible.
Yeah.
He would have probably been a first rounder. And so he's a really good example. It's very huge. They flipped him from Oregon, I believe is who they flipped him from at the last second. But yeah, man, I really want to see where Tavondre goes. I think, you know, catching the charge wasn't great, but I don't know how much it'll really affect him, because it's not like obviously driving drunk is bad and nobody should do it. But I don't know if it's like a character concern as much as it is like he didn't like beat somebody up. He like made a bad choice. You know what I mean? So hopefully it doesn't like destroy his career. Cosme is the best O lineman. Yeah, he definitely was better than Connor Williams. I agree with that. Connor Williams is good though, but Cosme was like a legit badass tackle. Like, that guy was awesome. I don't even know where he is now. I think he's in Washington, but yeah, no, I don't have a lot more on the Texas draft side. I'll throw it back to you, but yeah, man, I'm really excited to see where these guys go. Brooks in the with the star on his helmet would be pretty fun, though. Can't lie.
Daryl, just want to throw it up here. You said Bills made moves and can still take Adonai, the wide receiver they were probably targeting. You're right. And to be fair, I did not fully look at the compensation Buffalo got for moving around. So I'd have to see, you know, what did they get in terms of extra picks. The only reason why I kind of hesitate a little bit before I talk about some of these day two guys is Buffalo is supposed to be a team that their window's now, right? Like, and granted, yes, they have had some roster attrition over the last few years. So maybe they feel they need to stockpile and get more than just a receiver, get some depth. But to me, I'm like, if you're in win now mode, just draft the guy who you think is that guy and make it happen. But it is a fair point. Maybe they feel they have some needs to fill. Yeah, with T Sweat, I'm with you. Listen, no one's going to condone, you know, drinking and driving.
Yeah, but not cool to do that. Don't do that.
The thing is, it's probably in conjunction with the whole, you know, Tavondre was very upfront about his partying days, right? So maybe that in conjunction with the DWI. But in my mind, listen, Keenan, what you're going to draft Tavondre Sweat for, you've seen him do very well. I think Tavondre Sweat, probably a top 10, top 15, two down interior defensive lineman, or maybe top 15 is a stretch at this point in his career being a rookie. But I think as far as what you're going to ask him to do, which is be a nose guard space eater, but someone who's athletic enough in that short, if you take a look at his, first off, his 40 number is incredible for his size, but his short area, short area quickness is incredible. And he's going to make plays behind the line of scrimmage. And to me, again, I guess it depends on, you know, what division you're playing in, right? You know, like maybe if you're in a division where it's a little more aired out, you don't fully have a need for that. But I think in some of those spots where, you know, you need to win in the trenches, you need to win trenches overall, but you need to win the trenches late in the year, right? Where it's going to be, you know, the weather is going to play a factor. Yep. I think that's a guy you got to take. Let me quickly hit Travis's question. Do you think the AD stories caused him to fall? I heard for the draft he was going to fall. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say to you that I do think some teams are skittish.
Just crazy.
I can't report this personally, right? And I'm always very specific to say I only report what I know of the kid from the time I dealt with him and I got here in July. So I can't speak to the Georgia stuff. However, you know, you hear these little rumblings about, oh, you know, certain things happen in Georgia. And again, I'm not going to repeat them verbatim because I don't know them to be true. I'm just going to vaguely say that I've heard rumblings just being in this media space. And when you hear enough of that, could that make the difference between, to Travis's question, being a first round pick or maybe sliding 6-7 spots? Probably, right? Like not sliding 3 rounds, but sliding 5, 6, 7 spots, probably. I don't know. To the flip side of that, Keenan, maybe it's just the way the wide receiver board shook out. Maybe those teams who took the other receivers just had those guys higher on their board. So it could be that. Daryl said Chiefs traded 32, 95, and 221 for 28, 133. Okay, so they move up.
They move their second.
Yeah, Kansas City moves like up 40 spots, spots. And then they allow Buffalo to move up about 40 spots.
I get that that's like probably a decent deal for Buffalo, but you cannot do that. You cannot gift wrap Xavier Worthy to freaking Patrick Mahomes, man. I totally agree with you. I love Worthy, and he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer now because he's going to be on that team. It sucks for the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that's the point that I would make is that while, yes, you move up 40 spots, maybe you're getting a little bit of depth for your team, you just gift-wrapped a dynamic player
with absolutely dynamic,
arguably the best quarterback of all time. Really quick, before I go too far into the show, I do want to mention, because I didn't leave this off the top, we got a special guest today, Danny Davis, Texas beat writer, Austin American statesman, does a phenomenal job, of course. Danny covers football, but also baseball and women's basketball. So we're going to talk with Danny for about 10 minutes. Baseball this season, Keenan, has been up and down. Of course, you know, you being a UT alum and being around these parts a long time, you know the pride that Texas fans have in baseball. And that, I think, caught me off guard a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think once I was here and I kind of knew just how much Longhorn pride there is, I wasn't surprised. But I didn't fully understand, you know, the true legacy. I mean, of course, I knew like guys like Roger Clemens and
the
greats would have been here. But I didn't realize like, yo, like the Dish is a place that is pretty popping, you know, on the weekends.
Oh, yeah. And it's a sanctuary for many.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So obviously I have to see how things go with David Pierce. We've talked about that a little bit. Before we get to Danny, I guess I'll just give you a chance to kind of talk about a little bit, you know, Texas baseball and any of what you're seeing. You know, I saw a projection a couple of days ago that still had them, you know, in making the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. But just overall thoughts, you know, on Texas baseball, if any, Keenan.
Yeah, man, I haven't followed super closely this year just because basketball is king in my world. But
Sure.
I've watched a few games here and there. The pitching is pretty inconsistent in the bullpen, especially. That's my very, very basic analysis is that the bullpen is rough and the starting pitching is hit or miss. But, I mean, that's what Danny's for. He's going to explain everything that's going on. Danny is like, for those of you who aren't familiar with Danny, if you haven't heard him, he's one of the best in the city at what he does. He's just a damn good journalist. So it's really cool that we're going to have him on. He really knows his stuff and very outspoken man, Mr. Danny Davis, isn't he?
Danny Davis is an excellent journalist. He has some faulty takes, specifically on music. But I will let him slide on that. You got what CB says here. CB says Mahomes isn't the GOAT. Brady is. Chris, I will say this. Patrick Mahomes is, in my mind, the most physically gifted quarterback I think we've ever seen. And listen, my memory might not stretch back to, you know, my first initial NFL memories are the mid to late 90s, right? So maybe it doesn't stretch back as far as some of the Joe Montanas and others. But I will agree. Tom Brady, when you win the amount of championships that he has, that does entitle you to GOAT status. And Keenan, actually, before we get to Danny, GOAT talk. Are you someone who you think you got to win or surpass the amount of rings to be okay? What's your take on?
Well, I can sort of mention that right before we bring Danny on, that like LeBron is my GOAT. Like, I think LeBron's the best basketball player ever, and he doesn't have the most rings ever. He has 4. And I know. I just opened up a can of worms I shouldn't have. But yeah, that's just like an example of like who I think is like. I think Mahomes is. He's not the most accomplished quarterback ever. That would be Brady, right? But I think he's the best. If you give me like, if I get to pick any player in the history of the NFL to start a franchise with, probably taking Mahomes. Just like NBA, if I'm picking a guy to start a franchise with, probably picking LeBron.
And I think that's a fair way to sum up GOAT talk for me, right? Like, I don't think you got to pass them in terms of rings.
You got to have a few, though.
But no, you got it. You got to have a few. But I just feel like what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes in such a short time span definitely allows him to at least be right there in that conversation. But without further ado, as I mentioned, we're going to bring on our guest of the Austin American Statesman. He's a scholar and a gentleman, Mr. Danny Davis himself. Danny, what's going on?
What up, Danny?
All I know is I showed up in the waiting room and Keenan insults me immediately by saying this LeBron's the GOAT stuff. So I don't know what kind of conversation we're here for, but I'm an MJ guy, so we're
fair already, enough. Already you can't go wrong with either guy.
All right, Danny. Well, appreciate you for jumping on here. I'm looking at the comments, and I don't necessarily know if I want to throw this comment Daddy's way. It is about one of Daddy's coworkers, so I think I'll pass that one along to Danny off here. Danny, I want to start with Texas baseball. Is really what I want to have you on for, and just kind of your overall thoughts on this season. I know it's been a bit of a seesaw season for David Pierce and company. So just kind of take us through what you've seen this year in the Big 12.
Yeah, we're just about ready to head into the month of May, and I have no idea what's going to happen with this team. I mean, they may not make the NCAA tournament. They make it, and they could win a regional. I mean, who actually knows with this team? They've had some atrocious losses on their resume. Some of those midweek games were unacceptable. That BYU series loss was not great, but here they are. They're tied for second place. They have a chance to go. I don't think they'll sweep at Oklahoma this weekend, but if they win that series, that's puts them a game out of first place in the Big 12. And, you know, that's all you really need. And if they get second, third place in the Big 12, they're going to make the tournament. So their RPI is not good. They've had ups and downs. We all know about David's suspension this past weekend. So they've definitely had a roller coaster and a lot of drama, but it's May and they're right here. I mean, that 2019 season, anyone who covered that team, anyone who rooted for that team, they knew that season was lost pretty early, probably around beginning of April. But this team, they're heading into May, and there's a lot still on the table, which is weird, I guess.
Danny, I want to ask you a follow-up, and I think this has been, and again, you know, obviously baseball isn't my beat for Horns 24/7. Jeff Howe does a great job covering the Horns. But this is the thing that sticks out to me. If you go all in, and by you, I mean David Pierce, on deciding you're not going to bring back Woody Williams and you're going to kind of take the reins as far as the pitching, how much quote unquote blame, in air quotes, or I guess how much responsibility does he kind of bear for what seemingly has been a very inconsistent pitching staff?
I mean, I'm kind of mixed on the whole pitching coach thing. I think people who like to look at last season and, you know, credit Woody for the successes Texas pitching staff has tend to also overlook the fact that David was micromanaging the pitching staff last year too. I mean, Woody Williams was the pitching coach, but David was still very much involved, just like David has been involved with every pitching staff that they've had at Texas going back to when he first got here. Even though he wasn't the pitching coach in name, he was still pretty much the guy making the final decisions. And yes, David has to take some responsibility for some of the things that have gone wrong, but also some stuff just hasn't worked out for this team. I mean, Tanner Witt has not been healthy. You know, Will Mercer was expected to come in here and be a bullpen arm, and he has been hurt the entire season. Some of these freshmen have not been ready to go because they're, you know, 18-year-olds playing against 21-year-olds. And, you know, some of this stuff, it can be explained. I don't think you can just look at the ERA and be like, David Pierce needs to be fired because this was a terrible decision, because I think that overlooks some of the stuff that David did in his past, and kind of, I think people like to conveniently forget about that for the sake of this argument. But yeah, I mean, David definitely needs to probably take a long look at the mirror this offseason and kind of decide how he wants the future of this program to go, if he is still going to be the coach going to the SEC. So yeah, I mean, that's a long way of saying that I don't think it's as big of a deal as some people are making it. But yeah, I mean, as with any decision that a head coach makes, you have to bear the responsibility of it. So he's definitely going to, when everything's all said and done, probably have to take that one on the chest, I guess.
Really quick before I pass to Keenan, going to read a comment here. Something I do think you can opine on, Danny. Our guy Travis Johnson says in the comments, can you speak on NIL in baseball? And it's kind of the status of Texas's NIL, you know, I guess, backing in baseball.
To be honest, I can't, you know, speak too much on that because it's not something I study too much on. Sure. Sorry, Travis, but obviously they have the Texas One Fund. I know, you know, the Occupy guys are trying to push that and try to do some fundraisers and stuff like that. And they try to get involved, but you know, that stuff is kind of kept a little secretive from us. I don't know if Texas is on the level of an LSU or some of those SEC schools that do love to definitely throw that money around, which is something they're going to have to definitely, across sports. It's not just a baseball program. I mean, football's obviously doing fine, but I think we can say that for a lot of sports get better at before Texas heads to the SEC. But as far as exact dollars and cents, I can't give you numbers, but I do know that Texas does need to improve on that before they head into the SEC, because that's big boy spending over there.
Rocking.
Yeah, so my question was a little bit about NIL too. Can you explain to maybe the people who aren't as familiar with SEC baseball what kind of animal Texas is walking into next season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, I forget what the exact stat is, but I think there's five of the last seven, maybe, or something like that, national champions have been from the SEC. You know, even like teams that are not traditionally powerhouses like the Mississippi States and Ole Misses, they've won titles in the last few years. You obviously have LSU, you have Arkansas, you have Vanderbilt, you know, schools that are consistently good. But, you know, some of the other schools have caught lightning in a bottle and just gotten hot. Florida's, you know, Florida. So, I mean, this is the best baseball conference in the country. And they're, if you look at the attendance numbers, it's always the SEC schools on the top. As far as average attendance, they go crazy for their baseball out there. I remember when Texas opened the season, we were making a lot of fuss about the Yeti Yard, and part of the reason why that was installed was so they could kind of get more seats at the dish, because it's kind of hard to renovate over there, and also kind of give them maybe an SEC kind of feature to their ballpark, because, you know, you go to LSU, you go to Arkansas, you go to some of these away stadiums, and they all kind of have that little niche, something that's kind of stands out about the ballpark, and Texas wanted that too. So, I mean, SEC, they love their baseball there. I mean, they love a lot of sports there, but baseball is definitely something they really get behind. And, you know, Texas has the backing. They have the fan base and the passion here. But I'm sure if I was to post something about Texas playing LSU in front of, you know, 8,000 fans, which would be like a record over a dish, you know, there'd be a bunch of LSU fans in my mentions being like, oh, that's cute. Yeah. 8,000 fans. That's nice. You know, wait till you come out to, I think Alex Box is their stadium. come out here for a baseball game. So I mean, it's kind of just on a different level. It's kind of probably what the SEC thinks of Texas is what Texas thinks of, you know, some of these other schools in the Big 12. Just kind of the difference in, you know, passion and just also success.
Interesting, man. Thank you. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of stuff about how people have literally said, you know, you think the SEC is a football conference, you just wait till baseball season starts. Because, so, I mean, like, you mentioned all of those schools that have won championships recently. And then, like, even South Carolina won back-to-back in, like, the mid-2000s or something. So, yeah, there's so much talent in that conference. Yeah, so I guess the NIL is going to be something that's going to have to sort of catch up. Was that something you'd agree with to match with these SEC schools?
I mean, I'd say that with every sport. And you know, there's a reason why LSU is so good at women's basketball, aside from Kim obviously being a great coach. Yeah. You know, they're able to recruit talent, and you know, they really, you know, are really into NIL and, you know, promoting their athletes that way. And so I think across the board, I mean, football obviously is doing fine. I don't think anyone needs to tell the football people to get their game up. But I think across the board, they're going to need to improve in that arena. In all sports before they head to the SEC.
Daniel, our guy JSDTX says, when you walk into a season with Tanner and LeBaron LBJ, you think you would be okay, which probably is a fair assessment. And also Travis House back in here with SEC, probably the best softball conference, and that's before Oklahoma and Texas as well. While I've got you, do want to ask you a women's basketball question, because of course you do a phenomenal job covering the women as well. Just kind of your overall thoughts on, similarly to Rodney Terry and the men, and I don't want to call it a rebuild, but a bit of a reshaping, so to speak, of this roster. You've seen, you know, obviously Justice Carlton, Jordan Lee, the two freshmen coming as well, and they just picked up a new addition from Michigan. We've also seen a couple of players hit the portal. So, you know, not quite as drastic of a reshaping as the men's team, but just kind of curious overall thoughts on the women as they enter, you know, a league that obviously boasts teams that won national championships most recent years.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting offseason. I think last year Texas lost one player to the portal and a couple players to graduation who were reserves who weren't going to play much. And the person they lost to the portal was a fifth-year senior who was not playing. And, you know, I think Vic had hopes that they could kind of run it back again and no one would leave. But the fact of the matter is, when you're at the University of Texas, your roster is full of talented players who think they should be playing. And when you expect to bring back your entire team, that means the players who are on the bench who were, you know, being good sports and being good teammates and stuff like that, that means they're probably looking at their situation and being like, okay, I'm not going to be playing again for another year. And sometimes that's hard to ask a player to do that 2-3 years in a row when they know they are talented enough to be starting at a different school. And there are plenty of reasons to stay at Texas, the academics, the, you know, campus life, the athletics, getting to chase a championship like and stuff like that. But sometimes you just want to play. Sometimes you want to set yourself up down the road for your professional career. Sometimes you're a senior and you just would like to spend your last year playing instead of on the bench. And so I think that's kind of what has happened with some of these players that Texas has lost. I mean, they haven't lost a player who is projected to be a starter next year. I mean, Deanna was going to be coming off the bench. Amina was going to be coming off the bench. If everyone was returning was healthy. So, I mean, they lost some key role players. Those players are good players who are not easily replaceable, but I also am not surprised that they left and decided to move on. And Vic is a good coach, and Texas is a place that can attract talent, as they did with Layla coming in from Michigan. So, I mean, Texas will be fine. You get Rory Harmon healthy, Texas is going to be fine. Some people are going to lose their favorite players and have to learn some new names, but for the most part, that starting lineup is going to be the same. The Stars are going to be back at Texas, and they're still going to be a top five team when Texas enters the next basketball season.
Last question before we let you go, Danny, a women's basketball question as well. So you say when Mahomes and transfer, for the people that they're bringing in, do you think that the specific players that they're targeting, they're trying to replace those roles more specifically? Or do you think that they're just looking to supplement like a specific system? Like, how do you think they're going to go about trying to replace those players that left?
Well, I think they're almost kind of capped out as far as room on their roster. I have to look at their exact scholarship stuff. I don't think they have that much room. I think they need to get one more big just because they have no depth down there behind Taylor and Aaliyah. Sure, if you can find someone who's similar to the problem is Aaliyah Deanna and Amina all kind of play that four position. They play, they're four different players. They have different skill sets, different, but they're all kind of pigeonholed into that number, that four role. So, I mean, I think if they can get another big, maybe someone who's a versatile defender like Amina, I think that'd be good. But I don't think you necessarily are looking for an exact replacement for Deanna, an exact replacement for Amina, because A, I don't think you have the scholarship limit, and B, as much as I said, you know, those players are kind of looking at the math and wanting to go find playing time elsewhere. It's also going to be hard to convince a transfer to come into a situation where they know there's five returning starters here. And even someone like Shea Holly, who may not start next year, is playing 40 minutes a game at the end of last year. So she's still going to play. So, I mean, there's still a lot of, there's not a ton of playing time available. So I think you're going to have a tough time finding an exact replacement for Deanna and Amina, but maybe you can find a role player or someone who kind of fits Vic's system. That's important too. You know, Vic is not an ordinary coach. He has to find people who fit his system. But you know, he's done well recruiting the portal before, so I'm sure he'll do fine this offseason.
Danny, we will get you out of here on this. I like to end things with a fun question, and this question is kind of motivated by I remember last year, even before I had gotten on the beat, you made the trip out to Miami to cover the NCAA tournament, and you had that ridiculous brisket milkshake. I just want to ask you, I won't come to Music Takes, you know, we hopefully BK Texas Sports Unfiltered will give us this platform for a while and you'll be a repeat guest and we'll come to music. But I just want to ask you, what has been your favorite venue or favorite, you know, just environment, city that you've been to, you've covered a game in, and why?
My favorite trip, aside from getting to go to New Orleans twice on the company dime for football, that was a lot of fun, as you're aware from this last season. But I think my 2016 was my first year on the beat, and Texas went out to Cal that year. And Cal Stadium is gorgeous. It was a little cold that night. It's open air press box, which was not fun, but their stadium's gorgeous. I got to be in San Francisco for a weekend. Got to go out to a baseball game. Got to go, just enjoy a really nice weekend in San Francisco. And went out there last year too for Stanford, that baseball series. So that was a lot of fun. You know, I'm a Montanan at heart, so I like going back out west and enjoying stuff out there. So anytime Texas gets to go out there and I get to travel for that, that's a lot of fun for me, which is kind of been frequent with this women's basketball season, because their last three seasons have ended in Spokane and Portland. So I guess as long as I'm on that beat, I get to keep going back to that Pacific Coast time zone.
That is Danny Davis of the Austin American Statesman. I'm very glad that we did not decide to wear the same hoodie, because I almost threw on the Sugar Bowl hoodie and decided against it. That would have been rather problematic.
Such in our a faux effort. Pas, dude.
It's convenient. It's around the house. I didn't want to just wear a t-shirt out here.
It's convenient, but would not do any good in the efforts for people to tell us apart. Danny, I appreciate it. Thank you for the time, my man.
See y'all.
All right, Keaton. So as we
are the goats right there, man.
Listen, Danny always coming strong with great takes. Appreciate him coming on here and making some time. Just want to, you know, transition here back to football, because obviously, as I said, we've got day two, then day three. But not even that, because you kind of touched on it a little bit. Some guys on this year's roster for next year, Kelvin Banks, probably going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft next year. The guys, you know, Jess Enauer, Jordan, Jeff Howe, talked about Quinn Ewers. Who are some of the guys that kind of intrigue you as possible next year's first round picks?
Bond, probably, I would guess.
Sure,
he'll be a junior, right?
Yeah, no, he'll be draft over, yeah.
He'll be a first rounder, probably, I would think. I mean, he's, from everything I've heard, he's a pretty awesome receiver in multiple aspects. You know, he's not like just one or the other. He kind of has elements of both a possession and a speed guy. So excited to watch him play. I would say, you know, Manny Muhammad, I don't know what year I think he's a sophomore this year, or is a junior this year?
He'd be a sophomore. So Manny would be 26.
Okay, he'd need another year. Okay. Well, whenever he comes out, Banks, obviously, probably going to be a first rounder, I would imagine. That guy's been anchoring a really good offensive line since he was like 19. So I would say he's probably in the conversation for first rounders. That's interesting, though, man. I haven't really thought towards the next NFL draft yet. But this Texas team, man, it's loaded at so many spots. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a few draft picks early on and maybe do what they did last year, get two or three in the first round or one early in the second round and two in the first round or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Before I give you my answer, again, I want to kind of lean on you here as someone who's been around for a while. Top to bottom, in terms of just football all the way through to, you know, swimming and diving, and we obviously seen the success of that there, volleyball, et cetera. Is this, and maybe, you know, Chris Bennett can give us some, you know, help as well. Is this like a golden age for Texas sports? I'm just curious.
I think it could be. I think it's getting there for sure. Yeah, I mean, like the Elite Eight and the playoff appearance, like back to back, were pretty cathartic after, you know, being just trash talked by every fan base for 15 years for doing nothing. I was like 09 after 09. I mean, they were terrible in the Big Two. They were good at baseball a few years in there, like made the College World Series final twice. I think they made it 14 and 21. But yeah, no, it was pretty slim pickings for football and basketball fans at UT, especially when I was a student. So I think my leaving was a big bonus to the school. When I left, they were like, all right, we got to hire Sark now.
No, man, it's just something that, again, like it's something I noticed with, you have the football success, and obviously that has been up and down here at Texas.
Yeah.
But women's basketball peaking, men's basketball was coming off of a run last year or the year before last. They even still not having the season they would have liked, a good, solid NCAA tournament team.
Solid season, yeah.
Yeah, softball, super competitive, volleyball. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So I just was really kind of curious, like, and I wonder how this goes going to the SEC, what this will kind of be in terms of the golden era for Texas. But back to the question I'd asked, I mean, Kelvin Banks is the guy who I think, I think Banks is a top five pick.
That's what I was going to say that. I just didn't want to sound uninformed, but like I figured he would be like a top 10 pick,
Yeah, I think Banks is a top 10. Isaiah Bond, again, we'll see what happens. In terms of his athletic ability, he's got all the traits of a top 10 guy there. I think Jaden Blue at running back, that's a guy I think you can be cautiously optimistic on. Of course, we all know that running back position, right? Not necessarily valued the way it was back in the day. You know, unfortunately, some guys kind of slip. Like, I think Saquon, right, is unless I'm missing someone. Bijan. Dear God, I'm sorry. I'm in Texas. How can I forget Bijan Robinson? I was trying to think of the last like running backs who you know were surefire, like, okay, we're gonna take them top 10. But
Bijan
Robinson, Saquon Barkley, I mean, even a Christian McCaffrey was a
Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke a few years back, So but Jaden Blue is someone who has that type of potential as well. Really interested to see, you know, just kind of where this Texas roster, and that's kind of what led me to the golden age question, is this stretch of talent for this Longhorns roster. And maybe there's something we can get into, and I'll kind of tease this now, something I definitely want to talk about on Monday are kind of like, what are the expectations just in terms of where this roster is in terms of talent wise, what they need to accomplish within the next, you know, year or two, and kind of what is the baseline there. And something else I kind of want to tease from that, because I'd be curious your thoughts on this, and I'll give you some time over the weekend to think about it, is what top four, and maybe I'll put this out to a poll, Keenan, we can both tweet this out. What SEC event are we looking forward to the most next year? Is it?
Wow, that's fun, dude.
Is it Texas versus Georgia?
It's one of them.
Football. Is it Texas women versus South Carolina? Right?
That's going to be lit too, man.
Right? Is it, you know, men? Right? Is it?
It's Arkansas with Calipari when Calipari comes to town with that squad.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Texas has not faced Chris Beard since that. Is it that, you know? And you got to know the SEC schedule makers are probably going to line that one up. So
they're going to line that up so Rodney Terry can square that up and hit it out the park.
I mean, you got to expect that's going to be one of those games where he comes to Austin, right? So. I mean, there are quite a few SEC events. Maybe we'll put that out to a poll question and see, you know, for next week, next Monday. Definitely want to.
Yeah, that's a good question. I like that.
Definitely want to get into that. We kind of talked about it a little bit, you know, in the crosstalk with Jeff and Jordan. But did you have a chance to watch that video with David Tepper?
I read about it. That's incredibly thin-skinned and crazy that you would care. You know what a normal person would do if they saw it? They go, that's a good one. And then they drive, keep driving. That's what they would do.
So I'm going to ramble for a bit because you check your text. I texted you the videos. I want you to see it so I can come back to you because it's literally the behavior. And for anyone who hasn't seen this video, you can find it on Twitter. Sure, it's on Instagram. It's on YouTube. You just Google David Tepper. He's the owner of the Carolina Panthers, recent owner. He's one of these hedge fund billionaire guys who made their money in hedge fund and bought an NFL team and whatnot. And he's been acting like an ass. You know, he threw a drink on a fan the last year, and it's just insane. But I wanted to get Keenan's thoughts on this because, again, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. He walks into an establishment where there's a sign that says, please let the GM and coach make the pick, because there have been some rumors that, you know, the pick last year was not theirs. It was not Frank Reich's. It was David Tepper's. And if I'm a billionaire, to Keenan's point, I'm going to laugh and go about my day, right? And maybe that's just because I'm just a stupid journalist who's only making X amount of money, but like, all right, cool. Ha ha. Going about my day. This guy comes in with, I don't know if it's his security person or just someone who rolls with him.
What a casually dork.
Strolls into this establishment and just takes the hat off in the way that like a TV villain would take the hat off.
What a dork. Oh my God.
And goes at them. Kidding. I'm assuming you've seen the video now. He had a chance to just kind of.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. It's very funny. It reminds me of the scene. Did you ever watch The Sopranos?
I'm looking at. And listen, we can throw that up. Here's Texas.
No, you can throw that up. That's fine. That's fine. That's PG-13.
You are correct.
He's
money
right. He's right about that.
Make it bigger. And I guess your inadequacies cause you to run around and acting like that. But no, I actually didn't watch much of The Sopranos, man.
What's okay, up? So there's a scene in The Sopranos where Tony is in his friend Artie Bucco's restaurant. And it's a very nice Italian restaurant. And him and all of his mafioso friends are there all the time. And there's this scene where there's a guy sitting across the restaurant. He's just a random patron. He's wearing a hat inside. And the owner, Artie Bucco, is looking at him and he's just like, people just have no respect these days, man. And Tony Soprano turns around and he sees it. And he walks over to the guy and he's just standing over him. And he's like, how about you take your hat off? And he's like, I'm not taking my hat off. And he's just like, how about you take your hat off? And then he just goes, puts it off. And then Tony goes, thank you. And walks away. That's exactly what I imagine this is like.
It's just... Folks, it is ridiculous.
What a dork, man.
And it goes to show you, and kind of what I when I brought it up, I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, listen, as a someone who grew up in Tampa, I've been around bad ownership. Obviously, this FX movie is coming out with Donald Sterling and the Clippers. Interested to see what that happens with.
Whoa, bad. What? I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's a series. The series is coming out with, so you have to check that on FX.
Oh my God!
Obviously, here in the state of Texas, people have their thoughts. One thing about Jerry Jones, I don't think you can call Jerry Jones a bad owner.
I can.
Okay. All right. I'll let you apply. I'll say a problematic owner at times. Yeah, but Jerry is always willing to spend to do what it takes. Now, unfortunately, maybe he's a little too involved. Mark Cuban, right? Certainly a great owner. But have you ever just seen management that's just like? Had you, I don't know if any of your sports fans up in JFW have just made you dismayed at just like the ineptitude of people running the team?
Dude, that's how I felt about the Texas Rangers until like 2 years ago. Like I was just like, because they went to the World Series in 2011 and 2010, they lost both of them. And then they made the playoffs the next couple of years, but lost like increasingly earlier. And then they stopped making the playoffs. And then 2 years ago, they signed Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, signed Bruce Bochy as the manager, and like win a freaking championship out of nowhere. But like, I was not ever expecting that, ever. I figured I would be a Rangers fan my whole life and I'd never see a championship. And that was like the most incredible, like, run. Man, that World Series, like there's something special about winning a World Series. And it really harkens back to your childhood when you first fall in love with sports. And it was a beautiful thing. But yeah, before they switched ownership, the Rangers, I mean, I think Tom Hicks owned them for a while. And he was not willing to spend money to bring in free agents. He wasn't willing to build a new stadium because they couldn't attract free agents because it was so hot in the summer. So their new stadium is indoors. Now they're attracting all these free agents. That was the key. They weren't willing to build that stadium. The new ownership did, and now they have a championship. So I've been there with bad ownership, but I also know what it looks like when good ownership takes over and flips things around.
Yeah, someone who, you know, I've been to Arlington plenty of times, honestly, for media days, whether it's Big 12 or, you know, when I was covering G5. So I've seen the ballpark in Arlington, and I didn't fully get it. I was like, why would they build a new stadium, right? Especially given where it is. But I see it's the retractable roof. That makes sense because obviously the ballpark in Arlington still stands. I think it's called something.
Globe Life is the new one. Yeah, I forget what the old one's called. But yeah, they do arena football there.
Yeah, Keenan, because I broke the news of that FX series to you, you're going to get a kick out of this. Lawrence Fishburne as Doc Rivers is an insult to Fishburne. I could appreciate that. And you want to know who's playing Donald Sterling?
Who?
Ed O'Neill. Al Bundy.
Oh, wow, dude. That's perfect.
I don't mind that one. I don't mind that one.
That's pretty good.
I can't lie. I don't know how to feel about the Fishburne as Doc Rivers. That one is kind of. J.J. Redick said that Jason Capone is playing him, the former NBA player. Really? That one I got a pretty funny kick out of there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Can you rank your DFW fandoms, like your favorite team, just in order.
Yeah. It's really truly a tie between the Mavericks and the Rangers. It really is. I can't really pick one over the other. I love both of those teams a lot. If I really had to pick gun to my head, I'd go Mavericks just because I'm a basketball guy. But I love the Rangers. And the fact that they got my city a championship was like, I have a video, man, of last year when we were on sixth. I was on sixth with my sister and her boyfriend when the Rangers won the World Series in game five when Josh Spores struck out, I think it was Corbin Carroll. And we celebrated all night. And my favorite story of the night, I don't know if this is a little off topic, but whatever. We're on 6th Street. We're like running around and I walk into Rustic Tap, which is a bar on West. It's a really cool spot. I walk in. There's all these Rangers fans there wearing Seager jerseys. I'm wearing my Prince Fielder jersey. And I just walk in. And I tap these two Rangers fans on the shoulders who are like, they didn't see me. And I'm like, hey, guys, is this the World Championship bar? And they all just turn around and went like, ah. And one guy just goes, real drunk guy just turns around and goes, come on in, brother. The water's warm. It was such a great night, man.
You said that that bar was at 6th and West?
Yeah, it's on West 6th. Yeah, it's called Rustic Tap.
Oh, West 6th. West 6th. Sorry. I thought you meant 6th and West. Okay.
No, West 6th.
Okay. No, I was just asking because, you know, I used to live at West and 6th.
I live right around, like, 2nd Street and like Cesar Chavez area. That's like, yeah, that's kind of my neighborhood.
Jack, to cap it off, yes, Al Bundy did once score 3 touchdowns at Polkai to win the championship. So shout out to the legend Al Bundy. I'm actually interested to kind of check that out and see. That's just one of those things, you know, if Texas goes on this run, let's say Texas, because Sark obviously talked about wanting to being obsessed with winning a championship, but Texas goes on a run. Like, who plays Sark? Who plays Quinn Ewers? You know, I got to start asking more provocative questions so someone can play me.
Snipes to play you, dude.
Nah, I'm bigger than Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is 150 pounds. I'm bigger than Wesley Snipes.
Fight him, dude.
Nah, Zay will appreciate this, you know, man. Like, you know, Michael B. Jordan can play me. That seems to be the black man.
Let me bring Zay on
really quick. Y'all get a
handsome man right there.
Michael B. Jordan can play me, you know.
If that's the case, then I want Brad Pitt to play me.
Michael Ealy could play me. That guy.
Hey, that's a very deep cut. That's a very deep cut.
I don't know if most of our fans know.
Blackface, throw a little color on him. He could play me. You know, a little something.
Oh man, see this is where we need Chip to be on time because I would love to know who Chip would think would play him in the Texas football series where the report.
That would be a good question.
Is Clint Eastwood still alive?
Is Clint still in the game?
Still in the game?
I gotta check.
Clint Eastwood? Clint still in the game?
Hey, well, y'all, I just hopping on. Were y'all talking about the biopic, Donald Sterling?
Yes.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I hadn't heard about it till now.
Yo. Morpheus playing Doc Rivers is a wild scene. That's a wild scene. Not gonna lie. Love Lawrence Fishburne, Boys in the Hood. That's my joint. Deep Cover. Obviously.
Oh, Deep Cover is awesome, dude. Oh,
Deep Cover is so,
so good, bro.
So good. But yeah, Doc Rivers, I don't know. I mean, anything's better than Cuba Gooding Jr. playing OJ.
It's OJ. That, yes.
That was weird, yeah.
Zay, I just watched it because I have a couple of friends who aren't like super history documentary nerds like me. So I put them on. Zay, have you seen the ESPN, the OJ 30 for 30? Yeah. Okay, I mean, that obviously is phenomenal, right? But I like to put people who don't know about that, I put them on the FX one first, right? You know, it's a little easier to digest if you're not super into documentaries and whatnot. But the thing that I got to tell people is like, yo, Cuba as OJ, OJ was so much bigger than Cuba Gooding Jr.
Like, way bigger. He was huge. He was built like almost like Earl Campbell. He's a gigantic running back.
We got, damn it, where is Chip Brown at? All right. Oh, Zay, is Chip hopping on? Because I know is.
Yeah, he's hopping on. He's always late. Okay. That's one thing y'all are going to notice. Chip is late all the time.
Well, no, I didn't. I know Chip had a yet to take care of some business yesterday, so I forgot about that. But I'm just asking because we got him played by William H. Macy or Steve Buscemi.
William H. Macy makes sense.
Steve Buscemi's fucked up.
William H. Macy makes sense. Boys,
yeah.
I got to get to my job. Like, I have another job, so I'm going to have to go. Y'all are going to have to hold it down for me. I'm sorry. You guys are the best, though. I'll be back on Monday, guys. I appreciate y'all.
I love a week, Kanan. Great job, man.
Yeah, thank you. Love you guys.
You get off on Monday. I'm going to get off here in a second, but I got to get Chip in here so at least he sees the context as to why this is being speculated. CB, have you, and first off, good afternoon, have you seen the previews for the FX deal where they're going to do the Donald Sterling like biopic? Have you seen any of that?
Oh, no.
Okay, so they're doing an FX limited series. Lawrence Fishburne.
Big Magic Johnson.
Chip. Lawrence Fishburne, Chip. Morpheus is playing Doc Rivers. So
he's playing Doc Rivers?
Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah. So there's one. Al Bundy.
Lawrence Fishburne. I know Black Dog.
Al Bundy?
Al Bundy is playing Donald Sterling. So if you look in the comments, that's why you see Chip Brown played by William H. Macy or Steve Buscemi, because I had hypothesized if Texas goes on this run and they win multiple national championships, who would play us in the biopic? And that's why you see that comment there about who we playing Chip Brown. So I just want you to have that context before I get out of here, my man.
Yeah, because we got to keep an eye on Eric. He's a pot shotter, man.
There was no pot shot throwing today. I just was speculating. Listen, I said that Michael B. Jordan could play me, and I still think that's a fair take. Zay feels that Michael Ealy will play him, and you know, we're just gonna roll with that. We're just gonna make it work.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is gonna play me then.
Chip, I was gonna say McConaughey. I was gonna give you McConaughey, Chip. You know, so see. And with that, false start is done. First week in the books. Chip Brown, Zay Collier, 2 hours take you 1 to 3. It's all yours, fellas.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend, my man.
You too. Great week.